All right. Good afternoon. Good evening. Thank you for joining. Triland gives you and us his peace. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together this evening to talk together as guardians, your servants, we ask that you would be with us and that you would guide us and that you would allow us to share things that you need shared, that we need to learn from each other. Please be with us, grant us peace. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be with us and Holy Spirit as well. And for those of us that are unable to join, we ask that you would be with them and grant them your peace as well. We love you so much. Please hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we got Aerostar here too.
Hello, all.
Oh, awesome.
Aerostar.
Good to hear from you.
So as we know, the new meeting layout till things change again. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but as we have open agenda, so you know, things are open for discussion. If you have anything you'd like to share, please feel free to raise your hand or just start in. I know there's probably been a lot of experiences over the last 4 weeks since the last time we joined. So if anybody has anything they'd like to start out with, please feel free.
How about them bears?
I try not to keep track of them, not gonna lie.
I don't know, that's a Chicago joke. I guess it doesn't work when there's only one guy in Chicago now.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's definitely a Chicago thing. I guess
but, I'll go ahead and not great.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, right. I'll go ahead and start off. I know that I've been struggling with some issues and with work and everything and just feeling like I'm making a mountain out of a molehill and not really understanding why. Q has I've been speaking with Q on some things and he really has helped guide me a little bit. You know, I've had some problems with some business problems, and he asked me if I was praying for the individuals that I work with, and say, hey, are you praying for them? And I was like, huh, I sure ain't, probably should be, but I'm not. So, you know, I really had to take a step back last week and look at everything that was going on, and just pray for the entire situation. You know, went in and I meditated and cleared my space out and all that good stuff, and then really had a good sit down with Father, with Jesus, and it's amazing how easy it is, especially for myself, to forget what they can do for me and to just forget the tools that they've given me as a guardian and as a Christian in general, as a new apostolic, the tools that they've given us. It's amazing how easy it is to forget those tools and to not use them. I felt pretty ashamed, but at the same time, I learned something valuable, which was you've got the tools, use them more often. And it's interesting how quickly you can forget about the tools that are gifted to you, whether it be prayer, meditation, whatever that might be. So the mountain I made in, or the molehill I made into a mountain, really was a molehill. So the prayers definitely helped out. And Father eased this whole situation and made things go really well. So I was very appreciative of that and definitely said thanks today as well.
Nice.
Good.
You know, along that same line, our congregation is really nice. I held a service today and people just hang around after service in the back of the church talking, and it's so nice. And for the first time in a long time, I was the last one to leave. I typically have something that I have to leave for. I hang around for a while, but it's so nice that people just hang around. And the conversations that take place afterward are fellowship. And I was talking with a relatively new member, Tom, and he just said, you know, this church is so different than any other church I've ever gone to, because I am home here. I feel home. And everybody makes me feel at home. I mean, he's been with us for years now,
yeah, like a few years,
3-4 years, yeah, something like that. Three. And he just says, it feels like home. And he said, other times I would go to churches and, you know, it's these people are over there, you know, because they've got the money. And then the other people over here and, you know, they don't really associate. And he's obviously, you know, you see a difference. And then interestingly, he said that in one church that he went to, one of the members who must have been the higher group, you know, in their own mind, whatever, went to the minister and said, you know, I think you've got a problem in this congregation. There are hypocrites who go to this church. You know? And it's like, yeah, there should be, because, you know, we're all sinners and we're all hypocrites for different things here and there, you know, but it was so interesting. He said, that's the mentality sometimes of some Christians. But in the service, it was brought out how we absolutely have to realize that God is always with us and always has been. Through all the bad times and the bad things and situations that we were in, he's always been with us. And a lot of times in those situations when, you know, we weren't doing the things that we were supposed to be doing, and we could have been doing things that we could have gotten in a lot of trouble for, but he was still with us. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get in trouble because we needed to go through those experiences to be able to have empathy for people in the same situations who are in eternity or even still living, whatever the case. But we were talking about that after service as well. And and the way Tom said, he says, you know, it's like, we feel God with us, because the way we're talking, it's like we're hearing things and then we say something and it's like he's saying it to you. And it's just like we're all not blessing each other by ourselves, but God is blessing each other through us. And it's a really neat way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guy Ron, that he said he feels at home at the New Apostolic Church, because we went, Daniel and I went down to the Dallas North congregation this morning for church. Afterwards, of course, there's, you know, some friends from Portage congregation that moved down there, have been down there for quite some time now. But you know, the rector down there and his wife, they're originally from Chicago. They know Danielle, of course, and they know Diane. And I can't take my wife anywhere without them knowing it. Long story short, I mentioned to our friends down there, Zoe and I think Oscar, I said, you know, it's amazing to me, no matter what New Apostolic Church I've gone to, and I've gone to a few of them, it always feels like home. I mean, the people are always so welcoming. You always feel like you belong there. And technically, if you were to take my wife along with you, you'd always feel like you're at home, because she knows somebody at every congregation, you know. But that's a benefit that she earned from the youth in the days of the youth. And I know that was a big thing inside the church, and sad to see that that's not still a thing inside the church like it was. But it's definitely an amazing feeling to step inside a New Apostolic congregation, whether you're in Florida or Montana or Chicago, it doesn't really matter. They're all the same. Trisus, I'm going to throw the ball in your court. How have things been? How have you been lately? I haven't had the opportunity to really talk to you a whole lot outside of these meetings. Not like we used to anyway. So I'm going to throw you under the bus here and ask you how things have been, how you're doing. And
I'll share with you now. So when I flew out of my wheelchair, that was fun. That was weird. I usually tilt my chair back so my feet don't scrape on the ground. And I went down a small rise, like where the handicap area is. And for some reason, my feet hit the ground and my feet scraped the ground and I just kept going. One of the few times it wasn't wearing a wheel or a seatbelt. So I was in bad shape. It felt like I was laying there for a very long time, but it was only a few minutes. While I was laying there, I could feel my shoulder was dislocated. My face was broken. There was blood pouring out of my nose and my mouth. And I actually felt the ground scraping my skin off of my nose and under here and here. And I just laid there. I couldn't move. It's like, oh, crap, this really hurts. And I wore the pendant right on my chest. So I was trying to get my hand, but I couldn't even get my hand under my chest. And I looked down and the pendant was out of my shirt in my hand. That was kind of cool. So I was pushing it. But what I didn't know is there was a gentleman sitting at the front door when I fell out, and he ran in and said, "There's some guy on the floor. I can't pick him up. He's too big." I don't even remember him saying it. But anyway, about a week afterwards, I was talking with Father about why this had to happen. And I was lucky. There was nothing wrong. There was no broken bones, no CT injuries, no teeth. I thought I knocked out my teeth because I had asphalt in my mouth. I mean, I was spitting asphalt out. So a father said that he healed my broken nose and healed my fractured face right there on the spot.
Wow.
And I went, oh. He goes, "It was broken," because the nurse was there. She's like, "You have a broken nose. There's blood coming out of your nose. You probably, the firefighters thought with my arm behind me, that it was dislocated." And they sent me home. And even my regular doctor said, "Doc, how could they send you home? Why would they send you home?" But I went back to the hospital a week later for another CT scan. And they said, "No, there's nothing wrong. You'll have a headache. You have a concussion and there's nothing else." But I mean, I remember everything. That's what's so strange. I remember feeling stuff crunching and all that. So for Father to tell me that he healed me on the spot, that was amazing. And I don't even have any bruises. I mean, there's nothing. You can't even tell.
Yeah.
I flew out of my chair. And even the ladies here, there was a lady that just one door down fell down and broke her arm. And her face is bruised. Her neck is bruised. Her arms are bruised. I mean, so... the one lady that saw me as they were putting me on the ambulance, she looks at me, she goes, "Dios, Dios." She speaks Spanish and it's like, "Oh my God." I'm like, I know. I mean, it's a miracle. So I tell everybody, I told a few people, I know God healed me, but then I kind of tempered a little bit. I think God healed me on the spot, right? I knew God told me, but it's been interesting. I'm not any slower than I normally am. I'm dealing with allergies and all that, but it's been an interesting few weeks. And I hate the concussion. It sucks horribly, but I'll take it and I'll deal with the pain and the sleepless nights here and there, but it's been good. I keep telling my doctor that I'm gonna not contact him next month. But he laughs and he's like, because I've been sick or been in his office every month or every 3 weeks since I moved in here in August. So it's been one thing after another. And even my friend down at the desk is like, "You're just having a run of bad luck." I'm like, it's not. I don't think so. I mean, because I'm getting. I mean, okay, so you get pneumonia and I spend a week in the hospital, but it could have been worse, right? So I look at it and I'm to be as positive as possible, but of course there's naysayers and everybody here that's very negative. So it's been interesting to have another exciting adventure with the paramedics. They recognized me as the same crew that took me out for pneumonia. So that was kind of cool. They're like, hey, I'm like, oh. This was the week later. It wasn't during the accident. It was the ones that took me back afterwards. They're like, hey. And we said, so we talked about cigars and, you know, and told them about how I was healed. And they're like, uh-huh. Like, oh, okay. These guys don't have a faith. All right. You can't bring it up, you know. But it's been good. I mean, you talk about a test of faith and talk about something that you can instantly tell people that have a faith. And, you know, here's another funny thing. My DVD player that I bought, have barely used it in 3 years. I bought a HD 4K, blah, 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 fancy. It just stopped working. I'm like, oh, my old father. Really? On top of everything else, I can't watch my Three Stooges movies. And I said, I'll just buy another one, you know, because you can get them cheap. And he said yesterday, I need you to go to Best Buy. What? You need me to go to Best Buy? To the Geek Squad. He goes, I need you. I'm like, oh, all right. All right. So for whatever reason, I got to go. I don't know. I'll call up for an appointment, see if they can look at it. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe I still have to buy a new one, but.
There's somebody there.
Honestly. And that's what I think. I forget that I'm in a wheelchair, guys. Honestly. I mean, obviously, right now I feel a little uncomfortable sitting for 8 hours, but I forget that in the I'm a spectacle. There's a witness to how I am, and even though when the paramedic goes, man, you are really upbeat for a guy that just had the hell beat out of him. I'm like, well, that's my nature. It's like, oh man, I'd be swearing at God. I'm like, well, I wasn't really happy when it happened. I gotta be honest. I was scared, and you know, I said, but it turned out great. So another example, right? I'm going to Best Buy. All right. I've never had Father tell me that exactly, right? You guess circumstances like, oh, maybe I gotta be at this point, or I gotta go to Walmart, or I gotta go do a favor for somebody because someone's gotta see me. You know, and people are very helpful. And maybe just seeing somebody in a wheelchair is going to help them get through their crappy day. I don't know. So who knows? I haven't figured out which Best Buy yet. I think it's the one that's closest, but I'll have to ask them, like, this one?
Go with your gut. Go with your gut.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm having many, many really positive experiences. And it's been fun. And you're right. I miss talking to everybody. Jeremy, we haven't talked much. I know you're busy, but I'm glad you're going through your personal experiences. And I lost my marriage over business. So yeah, working with friends and family, I would not tell anybody to do it. I would say, don't do it. It's impossible.
But if you're already in it, you can still be blessed. Father will take care of you.
Oh, right. And you're going through it the right way. You've asked for help. And like you said, you made a mountain out of a molehill. So, you know, that's sometimes easier said than done, right? I mean, I wasn't innocent in my business dealings with the family either. So, but yeah, it's been an interesting month. So I keep crossing my fingers that August will have no bloodshed. Nothing broken. Nothing. Please. Please. No doctor visit. I don't have to see him until September. So, you know.
So you said you don't recommend working for family. Well, I worked for family. And when my dad would get a call from a member, yeah. I would intercom him, dial a prayer, line 3. When it was the apostle, that I would run into his office and
yeah. But you know, it's interesting. So I never really thought about that. But so Cindy's grandfather basically ran the business, and he had a brother, and they split off and they did their different things. But Cindy's dad, Uncle Wes, John Robert, you, and mom,
they all worked there.
They all worked there.
And oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean, they did. But, you know, they prayed and the company offered.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't, my company doesn't offer, but I offer for my company, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they did. I mean, they gave an offering from HBI. So you can do it. You can do it.
Well, and again, my situation was different where my family wasn't NAC. I mean, my wife was, but the rest of the family wasn't. So they didn't understand where I was coming from. And I don't think we should have done it to begin with. It wasn't like something we really, it was my passion and they supported me, but they didn't understand what I needed from them. And then they pulled out of helping. That was the problem. You know, so we made an agreement and they didn't stick to it, which really upset me. And then they couldn't understand why we couldn't make any money. They kind of need your butt in here. Come on. I'm working 24 hours a day, 18 hours a day, you know, so there was not an understanding of what needed to happen. And like you said, Danny, that everybody was of the same faith and the same family. So I'm not going to say it made it easier, but maybe that's why it was so prosperous. No.
Well, and my grandfather was a district evangelist for a long time.
Oh, there you go.
My dad did his thing in Africa and stuff, you know. So, and my Uncle Wes is a retired priest. They would pray every day at 10 o'clock.
Nice.
They would all go in my grandpa's office, shut the door, can't disturb them, and they'd pray together.
Nice.
So it was different than what you had because.
Yeah, much so. Yeah.
But even, you know, in Jeremy's situation, it's the father can do it. We just have to see the thing that's different that I find today is that we are seeking father's help more today, I think, in general than we did before. Mm. I think, you know, when you think about it as human beings, we think, yeah, I can do this. I can take care of this. I mean, I went to school to do this and I have this experience here, so I can do it. And father is just saying, yeah, you could, but it's, you know, I wanted to help you and I needed to get here. So just let me help you.
Yeah. Jeremy, you're going to do it. You've got it. You talk about the right heart's attitude and you're already looking out outside the circle and knowing you need assistance from him. So, you know, that's 9/10 of the problem I have found in the past is when it's too late to bring him in because you've wrecked whatever you were doing. And as good as father is, performing miracles is something he can do, but he can only help if you want it at the right time. Right. So.
Right. Well, and it's amazing how it's just easy for us as human beings to look at something and blow it out of proportion. I'm really, really good at that. Unfortunately. And recognizing the fact that you've most likely blown it out of proportion is the first step. And that, and for me, I thank God I learned that before I started this business. And you know, the one friend that I am friends with, the partner in the business, you know, we've known each other for a long time, but he's been in Oklahoma for over almost 25 years. So we really didn't have much of a relationship past high school. So is it a friendship? Yeah, there's definitely a friendship there. But I think we've both understood and came to an agreement. We think a lot alike as well. We came to an agreement, you know, before we even started that we were going to keep the communication open and that we were both going to work our butts off to make it work. And we both, you know, raised in the same area, both have good work ethic. His is probably better than mine, but, you know, I'm praying to Father, you know, every day that this is for him and that this is his thing. And I have a business mentor that I talked with here in Oklahoma. And the first thing he asked me about businesses was he said, now, did you invite Father or did you ask Father's permission to start these businesses? And I was like, what? I was like, no. He goes, you need to, the three of you, sit down as men and pray to God and ask him for his permission to start these businesses and to run them. And I was like, whoa. You know, so that was a big eye opener as well.
Nice.
Definitely interesting. Been an interesting time down here. Learned a lot, and man, it's strengthened my relationship with my wife and all that good stuff and the boys. And so it's been good. So I will say that Father's had on my heart as well. Trisus, you've been on my heart quite a bit. So I shared a link with you. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Iceman, the Wim Hof Iceman. We may be getting a little off topic here, but Father pressed me to share that. I didn't know if I was going to share that link with you, but Wim Hof is, he's a, I don't know what you'd call him. Q, have you ever heard of Wim Hof? No, he's, they call him the Iceman. His name's Wim Hof. I forget where he lives. I think he's over in Sweden somewhere. But anyways, he does a lot of, he's in a,
Oh, yeah.
Guy that jumps in the eye. You see him on YouTube quite a bit. Anyways, I was listening to a podcast, Jocko Willink. I listen to his podcast once in a while. And he was this, so this guy that went to Wim Hof school and learned everything, went, was on the podcast and was talking about it and said that he was actually able to scientifically prove with doctors in the room that he was able to turn off his immune system. And I was like, and then he's like, so people with autoimmune disease can take over control of their immune system and shut it down. I was like, no way. There's no way. But then Father's like, you need to share that with Trisus. So I just texted it to you. So do some research on it. And I don't know if it'll help you at all, but I was like, man, if, you know, anything could help at this point. So
yeah, he's been telling me to prepare to become healed. So I, you know, obviously doing the meditation and all that, but I wasn't sure what else to do. So this could be, yeah, this could be the key.
It could be. I know this guy plunges himself in ice baths and he climbs mountains in nothing but a pair of shorts. He's crazy. So I don't foresee any of us climbing mountains in nothing but a pair of shorts, but he does have some methods that have,
You dare me, huh?
Yeah, I do actually. Put that as a goal.
There you go.
He's got some methods that have been proven scientifically. So I just wanted to share with you. Anybody else have anything that they want to share? Aerostar, you've been kind of quiet. I haven't heard from you or talked to you either in a long time. So just maybe check in, see how you're doing and how things are going. And
yeah, I just moved into a new apartment this past weekend, so I've been dealing with the unpacking and all that fun stuff. I don't know. I guess I've just been kind of trying to get through life because things have gotten a lot more expensive.
Yeah, that they have.
But I don't know. Spiritually, it's been pretty quiet just because, like, I don't know. I've been dealing with a lot of natural stuff.
Yeah. And it's, isn't it interesting how, well, for me anyways, the natural stuff, I get into the natural stuff. And then for me, I forget about the spiritual side of things sometimes. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, Father uses the natural stuff to smack me in the face and say, hey, what you doing? How you been? You know, come talk to me. So.
That's how it works.
And I'm glad that it works that way because I'd be miserable if it didn't. Not gonna lie.
I want to share something that's really, in the big scheme of things, is very, very small. And it had an impact on me because of the size of it, how small it was, but what it did for one person. Just before the 4th, you know, last week, I mowed my lawn. And I didn't want to mow it the same way I mow it all the time. Sometimes I just go diagonal and all that, just, you know, for the grass. And I stopped and I just looked at it and thought, I'm just going to just start going like this. And I did. And then as I'm doing it, I'm thinking to myself, I had to take a picture of this and, you know, send it to my kids or something and say, drunk, crazy, or just fun. You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know, because I'm just doing this and I just decided that. And just doing it. So I got done with it And Corinne was gone someplace, where I don't even know where she was. Or she came outside.
She came outside.
Okay. And she walked. I said, look at the lawn. Go in the street. And she stood in the road and said, oh, it's a flag. And she's very patriotic. Red, white, and blue, everything. Flags all over the place. It's a flag. Dad, you did a flag.
Nice.
And she was so excited.
I know. I got home and she's like, Mom, look, come here.
And in the big scheme of things, I'm thinking that's just a little thing. But what it did for her, and Father did that. Because I stood there and thought, what should I do? I even said that. What should I do? And I just started doing it. And so what that showed me is he doesn't just want to help us with things once in a while or the big things or whatever. He wants to be intimately involved with us constantly. And we forget that. He's always with us. I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are omnipresent, always with us. And everyone else too. It's just, we can't comprehend it. But when we realize his presence, then we can be present with him more. And when we are, then these little things happen. And these things present themselves in front of us. And we don't, the prayer in the sacristy this morning, Dean brought it out. We prayed together in the morning before the service. And in the prayer, I stated that, Father, we can bless no one. We can't bless them, but you can use us to bless everyone. Because it is Father doing it. It's not us doing it. It's him. And when we realize that, then we're in awe and we get, and we keep the humility.
Okay.
I've been recently praying more and more that Father would help me to be a servant, his servant, and that, you know, he would use me as a servant to work. I hesitate calling myself a tool because I just don't like saying that I'm a tool. I ask him, you're probably right. I ask him, you know, help me be your servant. I am here to I'm your hands here in this world. And so it's definitely been as something that, yeah, it's been in front of my eyes here lately too, is help me be your servant and show me what it is you need done. Sometimes I don't like the answers, or sometimes I don't like what needs to get done, but it is what it is. I mean, I can specifically remember one time there was an individual in the Portage congregation who was having some problems with her son, and Triland said, hey, you know, I told him, hey, there's a demon there and it's been removed and I think he should be okay. And he goes, you need to tell his mom that. And I was like, great. You know, I was dreading that moment, but I bit the bullet and I went and did it. And she looked at me like I was crazy, loony nuts. But at the same time, I think it maybe hit home a little bit. So, you know, I don't know what it meant for her. It was not easy for me. Maybe it was just to see if I would actually go do it. I don't really know. But it's not always easy, for sure. Anybody have anything else they'd like to discuss?
Oh. My notes. Anybody go to a cool realm? Cool, you know what I mean, not cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Was something the last time I meditated that went to a realm, and you know, you normally do that, just you stand there and say, you know, basically you're just being a servant, right? Mm-hmm. And Father's kind of working through you, Jesus is working through you to kind of give them what they need. But I had one individual specifically come up to me and said, hey, because in my meditation, I removed the curse, any curses placed on anyone or anything inside of this state, you know, placed on that thing or that person by anyone, either living or dead, right? So if that spell or that curse had been put on somebody 100 years ago, you know, that curse would be removed. And so I removed that curse. And he said, hey, you know how you did that? He said, that actually helps us because we have curses placed on us when we're alive or even after we're dead by people who are living. And those affect us here. We can't move on until those things are relieved. And I was like, oh, holy smokes. So releasing the curse on him for him specifically because he was in Oklahoma, it was just a general broad stroke, right? But he's like, that helped.
Wow.
So when we go into these countries or we go, you know, and I ended up doing the entire United States that day just because Starlight's like, hey, did you do all the states? And I was like, no, I sure didn't. It was, maybe you should think about it. And I was like, I'll just do it right now. And so I did all of them, you know, and so that specific realm, that individual, don't know who he was, don't know what was going on with him. He just came up and said, hey, I have to tell you that removing the curses helps us move forward here in the realms.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was interesting.
I asked Father if, you know, or it was suggested to me that maybe Satan had tripped me up or something, and Father said, no, he's irritated with you, but no, I mean, he distracted you. That's why you flew out of your chair, but no. And what's interesting is the week before I hit China, and every time I've tried to clean China, it's been a battle where, you know, armed forces, blah, blah, blah. He knows you're coming. And this time my lead said, no, Father wants you just to blast China and kill everything in one fell swoop. So I'm looking through my notes trying to figure out when I fell out of my chair versus when I hit China. And it was a week before that. So, you know, but I've been hitting Africa pretty hard too. But again, I'm not going to stop. I mean, that's, you know, obviously it's a little scary, you know, but I'm a servant and I'm not going to give up. And I even said to him when Father said that, I just quietly said, I'm not giving up. Do your best. And I kind of cringed, you know, but, you know, I'm not going to stop. And even, you know, think about what we're asked to do and look at the example. You help somebody directly with that, removing the curse. I don't think that far deep or down to the detail. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but those examples just show more to me on what we're doing and how important everything we do. Remember last month we talked about just doing it, just do it. Don't even think about it, just do it. And this month could be, it's everything we do is important. You know, it's amazing. Honestly, we all have great examples of, you know, a book we could write eventually, you know, in the first book of Jeremy in the New Testament.
Right.
New Testament.
Mm-hmm. The book of Jeremy, at most first chapter, you know, how are they going to say it?
Yeah, right. Well, I do know that these recordings could probably fill that gap, so I guess if they ever have to go public, we can just do that. But
yeah.
We definitely have a treasure trove of processes that we've, you know, things we've all done here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to share one thing before closing. I had a really nice discussion with Blazar last evening, and he's a deacon and he's going to be made a priest. I don't know if everybody knows that. I hope that they do, and I hope that he doesn't mind that I tell you that. But we were actually talking about, you know, the fact that the apostles and the district apostle know who we are. We're given our names and they know, okay? And the district apostle was really nice to Jerry when he was at the minister's conference.
Really?
In New Jersey, yeah. And he even said, when he was there that, yeah, he's going to be made a priest. And he said, well, I would like to do that. You should have asked me. The district apostle said this to him.
Wait, say that again. Repeat that.
That the district, when he was talking with the district apostle, talked with him first and just asked how he was doing all that. And he said that, yeah, he's going to be ordained into the priestly ministry. And the apostle Feuerbach is the one who's going to do it. And they're working really well together. But the district apostle, Cole, said, well, I would have liked to do that, you know, ordain you into that ministry. And, you know, Jerry's going, well, I didn't think that I could ask you, whatever.
Yeah.
The fact remains that, you know, with all of the things that were told that weren't completely true to the apostles, it seems to be a non-issue right now. And that's beautiful.
That's perfect. Yeah, I asked Jerry about how he gets on with the apostle because of the strained relationship Jim and I had with him back in Seattle. And he's like, not an issue. I mean, it never comes up. He says he's fine. I'm like, okay. Don't want to blow back on a friend or, you know. But it's been 20 years. It's been 20 years. So, you know.
That's good. Just wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great.
All right. Is there anything else?
Oh, church Thanksgiving isn't going to be celebrated in the United States again. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, the mid-year update. So I don't know who shared that link with me.
You say it's not going to be celebrated, or
It's going to be celebrated again.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Fred did. Fred shared the link. Yeah. So it's on the NAC USA website. Mid-year update with the new and old DAs talking about upcoming events and all that. And so, yeah, United States, we didn't really celebrate the church Thanksgiving for the last, I don't know, decade.
Yes, you know that, to be honest with you.
I mean, we turned it into the United States Thanksgiving. And so that's one step moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anything else? All right. With that, real quick, August birthdays. Fred is August 1st. Quasar is the 8th. Starlight the 26th. Aerostar also the 26th. And Lauren's on the 30th. And I was talking to Tryland when I was up in Michigan a couple of weeks ago. And I told him, hey, you know how we don't have meetings in December? Nobody ever notices December birthdays because we never have a meeting in December. Oh. So he put it on there today. Atmos is December 13th. I think that's great. He's a smart butt. I love it.
Oops.
You're right. It's hilarious.
That's funny. I feel bad now.
I don't feel bad. I just always thought it was kind of funny that we skipped a month, and I just didn't know who else was in December. Obviously, I was the only one. So, whatever.
That's a great routine, but don't boom.
Yeah, right. Our next meeting will be Sunday, not July 9th. He must have sent me some old notes. Obviously, in August. Let me just jump on the calendar real quick so I can take a look for myself here. It will be, anybody know it? The 13th.
August 13th, yeah.
In August 13th. So we will see everyone again then. Well, we will go ahead and close in prayer.
Alrighty.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us during this time. Again, these moments that we get to spend together as a team are very precious to us all. We always appreciate the the things that you bring out in the meetings, that you allow us to share in the meetings. They are encouraging, they are reminding, they are strengthening, empowering, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it, Father. We need it. We love it. We wait for it, and we just no other way to put it than we need it every month, and we thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for allowing us to serve you in this fashion. Continue to grant us all strength to continue doing so, to be your servants, and to serve you in this fashion. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit, and all that they do for us on a minute-by-minute basis. Please bless this team. We thank you also for Aquos and Helen's grandmother and mother. They recently made a trip from a very dangerous part of the world back to Canada. And we are thankful that you were able to bring them back to them safely, and that you would reunite that family and allow them to spend time and to start a new chapter in their lives together. Father, we love you. We ask that you would grant us strength and the guidance that we need for the months to come. We look forward to meeting again in August the 13th. And we just ask again that you would be with us all. Bind our hearts, Father, as a team, and help us to always be in touch with each other, whether that be through text, phone call, or even just spiritually. We love you again so much, and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.